Hello, and welcome to the Gameslave Podcast, episode 124. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And we just had a rockin' weekend.
Nandesukan number 16 happened here in Denver over the weekend, and... We're tired after it.
I feel like I'm getting too old to do this. Don't have late-night stamina anymore, and it sucks.
Heck, you guys weren't the ones that did the, you know, midnight and 11 o'clock panels either.
See, I told you, I can't, nope, not anymore.
Yeah, I think, let's see, Friday night I got back in around 12:30. On a Saturday night I got back in around 1:30. So, yeah. But it was a fun weekend. Per usual, the press liaison Jenny treated us brilliantly. So that makes us want to do a better job doing stuff, so then we run ourselves ragged.
There's only four of us. We can't make it to every panel.
We're better than some of the other people. I was talking to one guy there, the Anime Heaven podcast. Mm-hmm. I think that was his. He's by himself.
Yeah. He has to prioritize and just like try to go to one panel with each guest, essentially.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. We learned a lot of interesting stuff. We were able to interview Patrick Seitz and Michael Tatum, of which we will have audio of those podcasts up once I manage to get them all loaded onto my computer and edited.
Yeah, and those guys are the ones that I just like to take home and, you know, have, you know, like, here, let me cook you dinner. We'll play some Xbox or something.
They were some fun guys.
Yeah. I'm just sad we didn't get to do our other interviews, but so many people got...
altitude sickness or food poisoning. Wendy Powell, I don't think you're going to be listening to this, but just in case, I hope you get well soon.
And Cynthia Kranz, apparently they're like best friends forever powers, you know, activate.
Get sick at the same time.
And Leah Clark was feeling under the weather a bit on Sunday, so our last interview with her got canceled. And it was like, aw, we didn't get any of the females, only got the male interviews.
So we're not being sexist when we post these. We honestly tried to make it an even split.
I don't know if it was intentional, it's just we happened to pick four people that we knew a lot of stuff that they did.
True.
Yeah. I feel bad, though, now for some of the other guests. I'm like, oh, that's what you did. Oh, that's what you did. Oh, she interviewed you, too.
What we know for next year, and we're a bit more prepared. We know what to expect when we go in for these interviews now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm always really nervous about thinking about interviewing one of the Japanese guests. I think primarily due to language. I know they have an interpreter there with us to help, but
there's also the cultural barrier that you're worried that you'll say something that might offend them that you didn't realize was offensive.
Yeah.
Although the Japanese consulate director was there.
The Japanese consul general, who's basically a guy who runs the Japanese consulate. I'm assuming the Denver one.
Dude was hilarious during opening ceremonies.
Yeah, he was kind of funny. It's like, wow, this is interesting.
He seems like a little bit of a straight-laced man, you know, talking to anime fans from, you know, his point of, you know, you Americans really like your animes. Thank you.
Yeah, so that was real interesting. Opening ceremonies was a nice little kickstart to the convention this year. We got to see all our initial guests, which we'll have all written up in a nice article on the front page eventually.
Yeah, and if you guys were following me on Twitter, I did post some pics from the opening ceremonies, at least.
He posted pics from all over the freaking convention.
I was only really good on Friday. Like, other days, I was like,
Friday actually is the day we took most pictures, because basically it's like, there's nothing happening until, like, what was it, 5 o'clock?
Yeah, and it seems a lot less crowded on Friday. Well, like, people are kind of coming in. It's not Saturday where it's like, everyone's already there.
Well, we'll get to Saturday here in a second. But it's easier to find the time to want to take pictures when there's no panels or anything that we have to get to going on.
Yeah.
But on Saturday, attendance cap is what, 7,200 people?
I'm trying to remember what it is per day.
7,000 or 7,500. I can't remember which. Basically, we hit the attendance cap for Saturday. They had to churn people away because they ran out of bad, you know, things.
That's the whole
thing about the cap.
It's pretty amazing, though, that they managed to hit that.
Yeah, Saturday at Indiecade is sold out.
Yeah, it felt more crowded to me this year.
Every year, It's just like, I'm like, man, there's more people. Man, there's more people. Man, there's more
people. And I don't know if it's just like perception, because there can't be that many more people since they, you know, started doing the cap and such. So the attendance cap was 7,500, which means that we had a very large number of people in that hotel on Saturday, at least.
And we only broke one of the three elevators in the tower.
Repeatedly. Like, it came, it's like, the elevator rallied a couple of times. Like, no, I can totally do this, guys. Like, the next morning, it's like, I can totally do this. I can... No, I can't. Then it gives up again.
Well, I think it's just because people don't... It's gotten better. I mean, I haven't been there those years where it like, all elevators broke down, because fortunately we were in New Zealand at that point, but...
They were actually under maintenance when the con started. It wasn't that they broke. They actually were just plain not operable.
Okay.
So they actually, like, opened up the stairwell so that people could...
It was the only way to get into the tower.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for the people on the 11th floor. Because that's the only way to get your luggage up, was through those stairs. And Prodi's here can attest, those stairs were not good for carrying up thick, wide, or heavy items.
No, they're quite narrow. They could have opened up, like, the freight elevators for people to just, like drop your luggage at the desk and they'd maybe take it up to your room for you or something. That was on the hotel my could have considered doing, retrospectively.
Maybe they did do that. I honestly don't remember, because I think that was the year either we were staying in the atrium... Or Carebreaker and I actually decided to try and do the drive back and forth that year. But yeah. But it was, I mean, despite all the people, it was a lot of fun. We went to several panels, of which we'll talk about in more detail in writing, but we'll give you some quick overviews of them here. Let's go ahead and start with one of the ones most people would want to know, the Funimation panels. So I'll let you go first, Elder Queen, since you went to the actual industry panel and I went to the preview panel.
Like, hooray, Funimation, they came back this year, because they weren't there last year. But they were there in 2010. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they just come every other year or they just decide, yay, more presents because we actually have stuff to talk about. Okay, what did I find out? Well, they're plugging all of their multiple sites, which includes Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, StumbleUpon, their website, their simulcast, their streaming.
Yeah, so they now have their streaming side. You have You can buy a subscription, basically, to actually watch stuff dubbed on their site now.
Yeah, they have an elite subscription. It's kind of like Hulu and Netflix streaming, $8 price point, but it gives you all the dubbing online. So instead of going out and buying the whole series on DVD or Blu-ray, you pay the monthly thing, and you get access to their entire catalog of some 6,000 titles or 6,000 episodes or something.
Something like that. And it's all in 8. And when you do the subscription, you have the option to have high definition streaming of said shows as well.
Yeah.
And you can get it. That allows you to also get it to your Android and iOS devices, along with Roku players and future Samsung TVs that'll have the Funimation app.
Yep. And they have more tablet apps are in the works right now. They just haven't quite finalized them yet. So yeah, they're doing lots of stuff, but...
I'm really glad to see them putting a big effort onto streaming, their streaming side, because that seems to a large degree the way that things are going to be accessed.
I think it's the only reason why Funimation is as dominant in the American animation industry as it still is, whereas others have started failing. Mm-hmm.
But it's also gotten a lot of the simulcasts, you know, I think have helped them a lot too, because there's not as big of a wait period anymore. It shows in Japan the next day. They already have it subtitled and on their streaming. I mean, that's pretty darn good, considering it used to be several years before something would come. Mm-hmm.
The internet has changed us. We now want everything now.
Well, we can know. You know, it's much easier to find news about what is being shown in Japan now than it was even 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's this face of conventions have kind of changed.
It's no longer about, like, trying to go and actually see, like, some new anime or something. It is more about talking about it.
Yeah, because I remember, like, when I first went to conventions, you go there because the dealer's room's the only place you're going to find stuff. Because the internet, there wasn't really... Amazon didn't exist yet. I mean, yeah, you could just do stuff from eBay, but it was a lot harder to do international things. It wasn't the same, and so you went there to find out the news, to buy stuff that you couldn't normally find, because somehow these guys got this stuff from Japan. You get to see stuff in, you know, raw Japanese. You're like, what the heck is that? And is it ever going to come here? We don't know. It might be, you know, 2 years. It might be 3 years. It might be never. And then you, that's where you went to get all your news, too, because the internet didn't really exist in that capacity early on. It's gotten better. It's like going to the Sailor Moon 20th anniversary panel. Unless you lived under a rock the last 10 years that the internet has been around, most of the information on there already knew about. But that was because I grew up when, you know, in high school when I still liked Sailor Moon, and as my friends were like, oh, did you find this site online? And that's where I learned about all. I'm like, oh my gosh, I never knew it was a Japanese animation, and that's what got me into anime, was discovering that through the internet. And so I learned everything, because, you know, I'm a vast consumer of knowledge, and so you just go, you learn all this stuff, and now the panel, it's like you're kind of rehashing everything just because. But so most people are there, they'll just talk and commune with other people who like that thing. Because it's one thing to talk with people on the internet, it's totally a different thing to get together in person.
Mm-hmm.
See, then they also talked about...
I didn't tell you anything about the Funimation panel, though. We...
No, you didn't,
totally
really.
Got off subject. Stuff is coming out.
Helsing.
Helsing, Unlimited.
Second half,
basically. Finally.
Yeah.
Both halves coming out. First half comes out on October 30th, volumes 1 through 4. Second half, volumes 5 through 8, comes out, I think it was November 13th. So, right around the Halloween time, right around my birthday. Yeah.
Wait a minute, did Funimation have the rights to the original?
No, I don't.
Someone else that brought it over?
I can't remember. See, Gineon. We watched...
Yeah, that's the problem. We watched it in New Zealand. So it was basically an Australian licensee.
Was it Mad Men? Is that the Australian company?
No, it was like manga... something, wasn't it?
No, I thought...
Or was it Mad Men?
I thought it was Mad Men. All I know is that it was a different company. We were watching. We were like, oh, we'll finally see an ending. We'll finally see an ending.
It left off halfway through. We're like...
And then I had to go looking online. Hated it. And finally, it's like, oh, we haven't picked up the rights yet. Hopefully they do that soon.
Yeah, it was just like license hell. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Which you found out
actually, I guess it's more like license purgatory, isn't it? Because it's not... Well, hopefully not... permanent.
Yeah.
You're right, Madman.
Okay.
Or Madman, not Madman. Yeah, anywho, man. But yeah. So, Gineon originally owned the license, so they had to get the license. When Gineon went under, nobody had the license, but it was still licensed to the company that didn't exist, so Funimation had to get it from them. Then they had to get better video, because they said the video they had was relatively crappy.
Mm-hmm.
So they got the original digital videos from Japan. Then they had to wait for scheduled openings in the original voice actor's lineup so that there wasn't any issues from one voice to another in a different thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they put some work into it. I mean, they got all the original voice actors back. I mean, that's some dedication to make it, you know, match. They could have just said, oh, we'll just get other people. And it's like... No, Crispin Freeman is Alucard.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, wasn't it him?
It's freaky that as Alucard, he does not sound like his other characters a lot, so it's kind of weird. It's the whole thing learning that Patrick Seiss voices George in Paradise Kiss, and yet he's all these gruff sort of burly voices in, like, Germany and Italia, and this guy in Monster.
Grimer,
thank you. And Monster and stuff, and you're just like, her burly characters. Not the suave, sophisticated,
and,
pretty boy.
I can never remember his actual name, Ichigo's father from Bleach.
Yeah, I don't know Ichigo's father's name either. I always just call him Ichigo's father. Which, we watched Toonami on Saturday night. We don't have cable television here, so we were watching Toonami.
And Bleach. And we have no idea what's going on, because it's like five seasons later.
I-S-S-H-I-N.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it was in the middle of a random arc where it's like...
Well, middle of a big, like, fight.
Yeah, we're like, what the heck is going on?
Ichigo and this guy both have big holes in their chests, and this guy has bat wings, and...
And they did mention
what is going on?
The only reason Toonami was brought back was because so many fans demanded it after the April Fool's joke.
Yeah, that's what we learned, too. So, that's why it came back. And I think that's why Funimation 2 is like, tell your cable provider you want the Funimation channel. Keep them going. Other stuff. Panty and Stocking, really big seller. I think they're bringing over the... I think there's another season that they're trying to get over.
Now, is that... That's the same director as Hooli Cooli, or is it the same studio? I can't remember which kind of...
Gainax.
What I was sharing.
I think it's studio.
Okay.
What
it else? Seems to be a slightly different vein of crazy, but...
It's the...
I got to see a video, a short video of it while at the preview thing.
Yeah.
Wow, it was crazy.
Yeah, we watched a preview. It's like on YouTube or
something. Yeah, we watched the trailer on Funimation's website.
Yeah. And it's like, okay.
It was interesting, though, because the Funimation was like, okay, so I'm going to show you this clip. If anybody doesn't like harsh language, cover your ears now because this is not censored, because I figure you would all would shoot me if I censored something.
Yeah, oh, jeez. Yeah, it's pretty strong. It is. It's one of those things, like, when you worked at the video store. I used to work at the video store. And, like, when Puni Puni Pome came out. You know, it's a very gorgeously, like, very bright, colorful cover. It's a magical girl. But it is so not suitable for children at all. And I had a mom come, I'm like, no.
That anime is, like, not suitable for anyone. There's something in there to offend anyone.
I remember when we first saw that one. What was that, IndieK several years ago?
We saw a trailer or something for it, but I actually watched it because I borrowed it from work. I don't actually own it, but I was just like, but this lady's like, do you think this is suitable for my, like, my 8 or 10 years? I'm like, no. I'm like, don't believe the cover. It is. I'm like.
It's a trap.
Yeah. And Patty and Stocking's kind of the same way. It's kind of like they say Powerpuff Girls on steroids. It's cute. It's angular. It has, you know, that thing that little girls would be attracted to. No. Oh. 18 plus.
Yeah. All I remember about Puni Puni Poemi is what it was.
Puni Puni Poemi, yeah.
Was watching the cute little, magical girl go from using magic to breaking the bone, breaking every bone in several different people's bodies. And the collective crowd going, oh! Because it wasn't expected.
Oh, no, that's not Puni Puni Poemi.
That's Puni Puni Poemi. I'm thinking of something completely different that we saw during the counting contest.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. That's not Puni Puni Poemi. Puni Puni Poemi was just a surf singular OVA.
That was by Excel Saga.
Yeah.
I remember that
and
one.
And it's in kind of similar vein.
Well, Nabashin's in it.
Yeah. But isn't Nabashin sort of like kind of the director's or the
Yeah, the director's creator's avatar. Character? Yeah.
We are way off topic of IndieK right now.
Well, it's just branching out to all sorts of other stuff. Okay, other things.
Oblivion. Come on, editor. Trim it up.
What we got? Okay, Oblivion Island. Production IG, CG thing. At least I know what it's about now because I've seen previews and I was like, do I want to watch it? It looks cute. It's a good family-friendly film. I know the gal who presented this stuff to us from Funimation. I believe her name is Sully. She's like, she goes, I could share this with my kiddos. She goes, it's a really great introductory anime for, you know, children. She talked about one called Fafnir, which is giant robot mecha, which she's like, she goes, we're having dry spells with mecha right now. Aria the Scarlet Ammo, which I stayed on for Funimation's, like, premiere of it. That's coming out October 23rd. It was fun. It was not the Aria I thought it was. Magical Witch Puni-chan?
That's the one where the magical girl brings all the vegetables to life, then they all get killed, and then she breaks the arms of the people trying to beat her up.
Okay.
I don't think I saw that one.
No, it was 2006. You were in New Zealand already.
Yeah.
What else did I saw? Sea Control, which is Wall Street with battling avatars for money after post-economic collapse in the world.
Topical.
Yeah, it's very dark. King of Thorn, again, very dark. Humans are basically put into cryogenic stasis, thank you. because there's some disease running rampant and makes everybody turn to stone. But then these people wake up and they're, you know, on some facility and going around killing them. It's beautiful because the animation's really slick, but it's gruesome because I saw lots of blood and people getting their heads chopped off. So yeah, yay!
Dead Man Wonderland?
That I didn't get to see. They mentioned that one. They didn't get to see anything of it.
It's very bloody too.
Yeah, they said if you like Dead Man Wonderland, you should like King of Thorn. They talked about getting a hold of Genon titles to resell. They got a hold of Armitage III. I'm almost tempted to pick it up because I want to know if it's... Armitage is an OVA that when it got brought over, they got some really big names to do it. Like, Kiefer Sutherland is one of the voices. He's Ross. And whatnot. But they kind of spliced it together funny because it was a whole bunch of OVAs that kind of put together to make a movie. I just wonder if it's the whole thing or not. I'll have to look up and do some more research. But the big one, if you're like us, who are kind of like wanting the old school anime titles, you kind of missed the first time around because you just didn't have the disposable income because things were a lot more expensive back in the day than they are now. Tenchi OVA is being re-released through that special Genon line, since Genon is basically Pioneer's outlet here in the States. So, they had re-released it as, you know, Tenchi Muyo Ryooki, but it was basically episodes 14 onward. It left out the original 13 OVAs. But it's there. It's like most of it. It's like a lot of episodes. I'd have to look it up again. But I'm like, I'm going to buy it now. I missed it the first time around. I'm not doing it again. I'm just waiting for Elhazar the Magnificent World to come back out in DVD format that I can actually afford to buy. What else? One Piece, Voyage 5, they're picking up the rights for. But the big thing that I'm curious to see what's going to happen, which they give no news about other than like, look what we got, was Akira. For your people who've been around the anime block a lot more than new ones, you know, Akira is kind of that movie that changed everything. And people are like, it's animated, but whoa, is it discussing stuff way beyond a kid's cartoon.
Yeah, for like 25 years of my life, basically, all I knew Akira of was that it was that thing that had been advertised during Aeon Flux on MTV, like late at night, when I wasn't supposed to be watching MTV.
Yeah, they got rights to it. I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to redub it? Are they going to clean it up and have it in HD? I don't know. They're going to see more announcements later. But
it'd be interesting to see that in HD. I don't know. It's like...
I should really buy it. I mean, I've seen it a couple of different times. I just never bought it to
Yeah, I mean,
collection.
I just saw it that once this like last year.
We were in New Zealand when we watched it.
Okay, so a little bit longer ago. I still don't know if I understand what was going on exactly. I'm like,
oh, the
this
manga
is like post-humanist and genetic crazy and what?
Yeah. Yeah. So there.
And also motorcycles.
Yeah, cool motorcycles. So yeah, there's my Funimation thing.
Don't forget the Mass Effect.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I just kind of put that out of my mind because I'm like, oh, Mass Effect, whatever. I know a lot of people are like,
we're a video game podcast.
And I'm probably like, we will kill you now. I don't know. I am not big on the, you know, first person or third person shooter. I'm not very good at it, and so I don't like doing it very much. And my brother's all like, it is the most awesomest sci-fi RPG you will ever play in your life, and you, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I know, you played it, you love it, it's totally more my vein than your vein, but you're the one who played it all.
Well,
not
then
me.
I'll go into this one then. So Mass Effect Paragon Lost is going to be following the role of James Vega. I think it's basically before he joined Shepard's crew. The art in it is actually pretty good looking. They got the original character, the original voice actor to revoice James, which was actually Freddie Prinze Jr., who is apparently a really big gamer. So he was real happy to get to redo the role. Now, we got the honor of seeing the first 10 minutes of the show after the lady's Mac almost crashed on us and she had to actually launch the full video. We were very sad to see that the entire video was like an hour and a half and we only got to watch 10 minutes.
What is it, a movie then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Movie.
It's going to be released late October. I'm really looking forward to it.
I thought it was December 28th.
That's late December.
You said October.
Oh, it was originally late October. Sorry. She gave us 2 days. She said originally was this date, but it got delayed to this date.
Yeah, because I thought she said December 28th. She's like, right after Christmas. So I was like, everybody can go spend their Christmas money.
Late December is when it's coming out. Yeah, it looks interesting.
I mean, a little trailer bit. I saw, like, the animation's clean, the voices are good. I just not interested in Mass Effect. So, those of you are, eat it up.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on from Funimation. We talked about a bit about the guests. Patrick Seitz, who apparently is currently playing Demon's Souls.
Yes, he's talking about playing Demon's Souls, and...
Well, that was probably one of the most hilarious parts of that interview with him, was just asking him, so, you know, basically saying, what video games are you playing? He's like, well, there was that Steam sale, which I made through mostly unscathed. There's just, like, I was just, like, you know, trying to, like, kind of, you know, keep professional, but I was, like, laughing my head off, like, inside, you know, it's like, oh my god, this guy is... Every other video gamer I know has said basically that same line, like, I made it through the Steam summer sale mostly unscathed. Which is code for, I bought a couple of things, but I restrained myself from buying all the things.
Yeah, it's not like my brother, who owns almost 400 plus titles, I'm going to say at this point, through his Steam account.
Well, eventually there's not going to be nothing for him to buy, except for the indie titles that come out.
Eventually.
They will keep making more video games. There will always be more games.
Unless the whole market collapses like the Atari and we don't have games for like 10 years.
When the Steam sales happen, they're selling the older games.
Yeah.
So eventually he will have all the older games when they go on sale already. Although it'll be a really easy way for him to do his Christmas shopping for his gamer friends, because then he just buys them on Steam and then gifts them to somebody.
I do like the gifting system, because it's the only way I can't play Plants vs. Zombies on my computer.
Sorry.
I'm trying to figure it out, but it just...
The problem is it is an XP-built, you know, game, and it doesn't Windows play well with 7 anymore. There are some workarounds. We just have to delve into it.
Yeah.
Find the executable, right-click on it, go to properties, run in XP mode.
I was trying to do that, and it says it can't launch something.
Well, it's usually was. It doesn't come like can't launch the steam.dll, basically.
We'll find it. I've been looking. Other people have been having similar problems.
It has to do with our graphics card, from what we can tell.
I hope they get it fixed, because PopCap is giving away Plants vs. Zombies for Halloween this year. They're just giving it away.
If you love something, you gotta set it free, man.
Let's see. I got to listen to Randy Mulholland a little bit during his panel. It was an 18-plus panel, so no, I did not record it.
Not allowed to.
And I didn't even write down a whole lot about it since it was 18-plus. It's typically the 18-plus panels I go to so I can get a general idea of what's going on. But it's 18-plus, so I don't take down a whole lot of notes.
Well, it's hard. Like, when we went to the Tatum interview, I'm like, okay, we just gotta buy a digital recorder. Because...
The Tatum panel, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like... Because... It's hard to write stuff down. It's so fluid when people ask questions and stuff, and the voice actors just, like us, go on tangents a lot, that you can't always write notes. You can write down little one-liners that they might say.
It's really hard to just, like, write down notes of, you know, Tatum did a funny thing, essentially. Yes. It's like when he's, like, doing, like, you know, I was, like, kind of dancing in the booth, and then, you know, and the director was like, what are you doing? And then a couple episodes later, his character was doing the same kind of weird dance that he'd been doing, and he's like, I totally know this character. I am the master.
Yeah. For fans of something positive, you don't have to worry about the comic going anywhere until at least past 2020.
I just can't believe... I don't have anything planned out that far ahead. I just want to put it that way. You know, it's like,
And Randy's one of the early, you know, webcomic artists of the internet. I mean, that's like a 20-year comic.
It's old. And when he did say when he first started, he was like, okay, people, you want me to stop missing updates? Pay up. I will stop missing updates if you can pay me this much money. And he did it to get people to shut up. Then they paid up, and he's like, well, crap, now I have to pay up.
Hey, at least he kept his promise, though. People's like, okay, we'll pay for your content. And he's like, okay, you're paying for it. All right, I'm doing it. And he does it.
Yeah, he has regular updates, and... Today's comic was actually pretty funny because it was basically
The con dream? Oh,
did you read the note at the bottom of the comic?
Yes, Casa Bonita is insane.
Oh,
Casa Bonita is insanity. Pure insanity.
We did ask sites about Casa Bonita and got some rather funny results, which will be great for people to listen to.
Yeah, look forward to both of our to a special podcast of both the Tatum and Patrick Seitz interviews. Let's see, what else do we have?
I really wish I had a recording for the Aria story. You could probably find it online. Apparently, this story's been told before between Brina and Tatum when she kind of snuck into his house without him knowing.
Oh yes, I remember hearing that story too. He was talking about this random food appeared in his fridge.
It wasn't just random. It was his favorite ice cream with his name written all over it.
I heart Tatum.
Yeah, and a bunch of like little cans of beer or something.
Yeah. The conversation devolved a little bit. I can't actually, I probably shouldn't say it was 18 plus at that point when we got into that part of the conversation.
Just know, one of his friends put food in his fridge with his name all over it without telling him and didn't tell him for a good few, what was it, a few days?
No, 4 hours.
4 hours, oh. But they were having a conversation.
It was
this
long enough for
time.
Him to have panicked, called all basically all of his other friends that might have done the prank, and the police.
Because she got distracted by Battlestar Galactica. As you do.
Let's see.
I guess we could just... There's lots of good costumes this year.
I'm working on those photos, by the way.
Let's see. Non-anime costumes mainly consisted of ponies, Homestucks,
and Adventure Time.
There was probably no fewer than a dozen Finns.
There was a good chunk of anime video game costumes this year too. I saw a lot of assassins from Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
that works because it's like you don't have to be Ezio; you're just an assassin because the assassins have a basic uniform. So it also works for multigender, unlike Link, who is a male that is always a girl dressed up. It seems
I saw a couple of male Links this year,
but it was still mostly girls.
Yeah. Mostly girls.
Oh, there was a fairly good contingent of various Avatar people as well.
There was.
Yeah.
There was, oh god, there was male Toph, which was hilarious. Like from the Ember Island Players episode, there was a guy cosplaying, like, as, you know, the guy pretending to be Toph, you know, kind of, he's kind of a bigger guy, reasonably muscled, and, you know, had, like, the hair, like, going way down over his face. And it was, like, it was rather fun.
Let's see. I did find a Proto Man. And there was the most entertaining Link. There was a Link that actually had an MP3 player behind their shield playing the Overworld theme. And then there was a Link that wouldn't say anything. They were just running around. It's like somebody would ask him a question. They'd either pull something out to point at him, or they'd run over and point at a sign to direct him to where they needed to go. But they wouldn't say anything. It's like, as I think it was a girl, that one. As she passed by, I was like, great job staying in character, by the way. But that was pretty entertaining, I thought. Let's see.
Really good Rey costume, which I think I posted on Twitter.
Yes, and I took a picture of that one, too.
Yeah.
Who again?
Sorry, Asuka.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting my characters mixed up.
I was like, and then, Asuka.
Oh, wow. We did so much, it's like a big blur right now.
Yeah, you're trying to say, let's keep it up. I'm like, Chris, this is a very much huge conversation to cover.
Yeah.
Because we did a lot of panels, we did a lot of interviews, we only... didn't go to a couple of panels. We wussed out again for closing ceremonies.
We were tired.
I need something else in between AMV winners.
The problem
to
is there's like there's
ceremony.
Almost like no panels like
because everybody's,
on Sunday.
Because everybody's closing, you know, kind of winding down, and so I'm like, I need one more panel in between those two that I'm really interested in going.
They should just throw together another voice actor panel. Everyone would stay.
I really appreciate Jenny's breakfasts on Sunday mornings.
The sugar rush helps.
The sugar crash kills us halfway through that day.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had really good pumpkin cupcakes. Thank you, Jenny. I think I ate most of the pumpkins. Nobody else has eaten the pumpkin ones, but I was.
How many did you have?
I only had two. Frosting was sweet killer. I was like, nope, can't have any more because frosting.
Yeah, I was trying to limit myself. I was like, okay, I'm going to have a piece of pie, I'm going to have a cupcake, and then the rest of my breakfast is going to be fruit. I mean, still sugar,
but natural sugar.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
There's some fiber in there.
Yeah, I had an Oreo cupcake, a red velvet cupcake. the angel food cake, which I swear the wrapper was heavier than the actual cake.
Jeez, that's good angel food.
Yeah, she did awesome with that. And some fruit.
I'm surprised she had any cupcakes left when she kept saying that everybody on her staff just kept eating them throughout the week. And I'm like, how did they survive? The cupcakes at the staff.
We ran into more of the guests randomly throughout the week.
Yeah,
we ran the weekend into... this year than we have like every four. We shared an elevator with Randy at one point.
We shared an elevator with Randy, Tatum, and...
Was it Cynthia?
I think it was Cynthia.
No.
We ran into Landra.
Lauren Landa. So we shared elevators with all three of them at some point.
Yeah, and most of the time we kind of didn't recognize them. Randy, I recognized right off.
Yeah, Randy we recognized, but Tatum... It was before
our interview, so we didn't realize it, and it was before opening ceremonies. So to us it was...
Because their headshots are them very prettied up, like...
But Tatum looks like himself in his headshot. I mean, he wears the same glasses and everything. It was just kind of like, oh.
Well, then there was one other guy that he had a guest tag, but he was a big guy.
Oh, I remember him, but I don't remember who he is.
Yeah, so actually we were in elevators with four people that had guest tags. We eventually figured out who three of them were.
We got on with a lot of the directors on one of the elevator rides, too.
Yeah, that was after opening ceremonies, too.
It's like, hi, guys!
Oh, yeah, the NDK directors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Overall, we had a really good year, and I think the overall thing, even people that didn't necessarily have a great time, they still enjoyed themselves. Some people weren't too happy when they weren't able to get into the panels they were standing in line for, because there are fire code limits to how many people can go in a room.
Yeah.
And the staff can't help it if 2 to 3 times as many people as that limit are in line.
I think I don't know if they're doing this earlier in the weekend or if it just happened later as when I saw it, but they started kind of going through and like kind of counting in the line and saying like, okay, this is probably the end of who's going to actually get in here. So if the rest of you want to just go and try and get to something else, you maybe should do that.
Yeah. I mean, they were saying that room, the Pikes Peak room, is the second largest room to main events.
Yeah.
And they were still turning people away from that room.
Well, that's where they have all the voice actors panels and such like that. And I'm like, those are very popular. I wonder if main events is too big for that. You need like a room in the middle, and there's no room there at the Marriott. So it's like, it's coming to the point where I keep hearing more whispers among the congoers saying wishing that they would have a bigger venue.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to need to get one. I mean, when they start routinely hitting that attendance cap,
yeah,
they're going to have to look at something bigger.
Yeah, well, the convention has grown so much. Okay.
I remember the first year at the Marriott. There was a ton of room. You had no issues.
It was insane. Like, because especially like the first year.
We've gone from that.
The Holiday Inn at I-70 in Chambers. But I went to, you know, I can't remember what hotel it was, but it was in Lakewood. But it was like NDK 4. That was the first one I went to. I would have probably gone to him earlier had I known what anime was and would have been watching it. Well, I had been watching Sailor Moon in middle school, but I didn't know this convention existed. And it started when I was like 13. And the first one was what? At the Tivoli.
Which is currently the student union for the Avaria campus.
Yeah, and I had no idea. And my friend's like, oh, I heard about this convention thing, so we went. It was tiny. It only took up like one floor of this hotel. There was a video game room. The dealer's room was tiny. And there was a couple other rooms for panels. That was it. And then the following year, they moved out to Holiday Inn. It felt huge the first year I went there because it was still kind of small. But there's a lot more space. Like, the dealer's room seemed immense at that point.
I somewhat wonder if they could split between two of the hotels down there.
Well, it'd be nice if they could do, like, the,
If they could put the dealer's room, maybe, off in the other hotel, and divide up that big room into a couple of panel rooms, they might be able to do something like that. Because that room's about the same size as the main events.
It would also be nice if they could do something like, what Denver Comic Con did eventually. They were split between the convention center and the hotel across the street from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thought I kind of had is if they had the con earlier in the year when it's still summer, maybe they could borrow like a Raria campus or something and use like all the lecture halls and stuff.
Go back to where they started.
Well, but like, I mean, I don't know. Probably not in the Tivoli, but kind of spread out into like the more classroom buildings.
And they still had summer classes, though.
Yeah, I was like, they're full university now. They go all year.
Well, I think we should probably wrap up for this podcast, guys.
Yeah, we're just going to keep going on and on and on. There's a lot more stuff that we can cover. We're just kind of rambling on.
So, this might end up being part one. We'll find out if we talk about it more next week. In the meantime, you can find us at thegameslave.com, where we will be writing some articles, get pictures posted and everything for the podcast, for Nandesucon. Happy Sweet 16, Nandesucon. I'm glad that it seemed to have actually, that it did overall go pretty well for you. If you have questions, comments, anything you would like to ask us about our experiences there, go ahead and send those to mail@thegameslave.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @thegameslave, or you can follow me personally @assimilator, and Proteus is @iProteus. We're not that difficult.
No.
And we have our Twitter feeds on the main page, too. In the meantime, you all have a great week. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.